friend Karen over there. Here's our bar graph. I have some water and a smoothie.
Perfect, thank you.
Seriously, have to leave? Why do you have to leave? Just kidding. I feel stressed. Need you to stay.
That looks like it's fine. Okay. I think we can get started.
That sounds good.
So this is Emily Metamura. I'm here with Anna Padgett on April 15th, 2021. I'm calling from Minneapolis and Anna is, I believe, in New York. We're talking as part of the Educators Narrative Project, and this is, I believe, Anna's fourth interview, but we've never met before. Anna, thank you so much for speaking with me. I want to ask you to introduce yourself, please.
Hi, my name is Anna, and yes, I am a forest teacher at a private school in New York City, and I think you're right. I think this is my fourth interview of this project.
Very exciting. Thank you so much for talking with us again. Could you just maybe tell me a little bit about where you're coming from?
Physically in space right now, I am in my forest classroom. I think all my other interviews I did from my home because we were mostly teaching online. And as of, I think maybe a month ago, we're now back in the classroom 4 days a week. And we're very lucky because our forest group is actually has all chosen to do in-person learning, which, although we have online on Fridays. So my point is that we, unlike some of the other classes, really have one primary way that we are working with children, as opposed to having to juggle two different ways, which some teachers still are, which is much more challenging. We've been really, it's been quite an incredible year as for everybody. And we've been really, really glad actually to be back in the classroom. Because we work with really young children, and there are just innumerable things that we were missing doing, that we now get to do. You know, we now get to have continuity and build on our work, and actually be grounded in our physical experience, which is really essential to working with 4 and 5 year olds. So that's been good, actually. Obviously we're still. We have one family who was traveling over the break that we just had. And so then they can't come to school because they're quarantining. And then we have another family that actually went to Italy because of COVID related reasons. So we're kind of trying to provide an online thing for that family, which is a little weird because it's anyway, but mostly we're all here and that's really been good. Yeah. We actually, kind of metaphorically, but also very literally. The way that we teach is an emergent curriculum. So we take from the interests of the children and co-construct our studies based on that, as opposed to coming to them with a prepared curriculum. And now that we're back in the classroom, physically together, we've started doing some growing of seeds and beans and also seeds. And we're just very happy to be able to touch the soil together, put the seeds in there, touch the water and be with one another. Yeah. Occasionally, I don't know. It's been like, so obviously there's been all these different stages of this. And one of the things that's tricky is, you know, at first, the beginning of the year, when we were on site a couple of days a week, we would eat outside because eating is a challenging thing to do with a mask on, obviously. So we would do it outside. And then the weather got bad, got to be winter. And so we were doing it inside, and figuring out how to do that without the children talking was a whole thing. And then, but then we, you know, we figured it out. And what that, what we eventually figured out is that we could do, if the children could take their masks off and mostly not talk in order to eat, we figured out that we could start doing self-portrait work, which is something that's very important to us in the fours. So we started doing that. And that's been really, really beautiful to start doing. I have one right here, actually. I'm just gonna, I know you're not gonna be able to see this, but I mean, you know, this is an audio, but you know, we just have these very beautiful self-portraits that the children make. They look in the mirror at themselves. We practice by tracing our features and talking about the shapes that we feel with our fingers. And then they look in the mirror and they do it very, very carefully. And then we reflect on them together. And it's a really important part of our coming to know one another. And there's just something so intense about not being able to see each other's entire faces, that in a way, these are even more meaningful than ever, you know? And I have to say, those moments when they do take their masks off when they're eating, I just want to grab them because I'm so happy to see their faces. Anyway, I don't know if I'm making any sense. I'm pretty stressed today, so I'm just going to acknowledge that. There's so much going on. There's a lot of mayhem at my school. A lot of people are going to get laid off, actually. And apparently we're going to learn tomorrow who it's going to be. And so people are stressed. People are super stressed. So it is partly to do with pandemic declines in enrollment. And then I think it, I mean, I know that it's partly to do also with financial problems that predated the pandemic, but the pandemic obviously have worsened the situation and also created an opportunity to use the pandemic as a kind of a turning point. So anyway, because of that, there's going to be a lot of layoffs. And so it's super stressful. And I know that I shared in previous interviews that my division had some pretty significant pay cuts at the beginning of the year, which was very, very traumatic to kind of weather at the same time that we were also trying to take on this insane manner of teaching, which obviously took up more time than we've ever spent. But we were, you know, for their financial calculations, they determined that they would pay us for 25% less, and supposedly we'd be working 25% less, but that was definitely not the case. So that took many, many months to kind of recover from in our division. And then we actually did have our quote unquote hours restored. I say that because teachers don't really work by the hour. You know, we're always, it's an ongoing, it's a never ending, basically. You're planning when you're at home, you're responding to people when you're at home, parents and whatever. But anyway, then the next chapter of this for us, in addition to the pandemic, the challenges of teaching, especially young children in the pandemic, is that now we have this next thing, which is that a lot of us are going to get laid off. So we're just kind of waiting. So my point is that I'm very stressed and a bit distracted. Yeah. So I don't know if that answers your question of where I'm coming from. In a way, it's kind of like, it's sad because the children are so, so lovely and so sweet, which is a huge reason why. I mean, I love this age. 4 and 5 and 6 year olds are just my jam. Although I worked with 2 year olds for 2 years, the last 2 years and the 2 years preceding this one, and I was obsessed with them. But also because of the pandemic, I had to make a shift back to the fours, which I had done before. The point is that it's an amazing group. They're so flexible. They're so willing to go with whatever they need to do, to be honest. They're so open-minded, you know, obviously, as always, much more so than their grown-ups. And it's been really frustrating to have this like beautiful group of children and be feel so limited in terms of what we can achieve with them. I don't know if achieve is the right word, but experience and do together. And so we kind of feel now, when I say we, I mean me and my co-teachers, that now, you know, which is really the very end of the school year, you know, we have 2 months left. Now we're actually going to do what we've been wanting to do all year. I'm not saying we haven't done anything. We have, we've done a lot of stuff, but there's a lot we haven't been able to do, and we haven't had any continuity, and we have not had, you know, ongoing kind of tactile experiences with one another. And now we can, God willing, we don't, you know, have a case in our class and have to stop again. So it's almost like, you know, or at least I have to restrain myself to not be like, and now we're going to do all this amazing, you know, because that's actually not going to be a great way to end the year. You know, we want to be where we are and enjoy one another, but I do feel a certain amount of like, you know, drive to do things with them now, because we finally can, you know. Not sure what else to say. You know, yeah, I'm not sure. We started singing today, the Harry Belafonte song, Turn the World Around. We come from the fire, go back to the fire, living in the fire, turn the world around. We come from the water, living in the water, go back to the water. Anyway, it's very sweet. Then he's like, do I know who you are? Do you know who I am? See we one another clearly. Do we know who we are? Like, really like big question, you know, and this isn't a song, but it's also really, so we're learning this song. My co-teacher did this with a prior class. I've actually never done this song with children, and it's very lovely, super repetitive, in a way that is lovely for them. She did it when she was actually doing a study about activism and environmental things, environmental related activism. And so I think she sees the song in that lens, through that lens, because that's what she's done before. But I really see it as, you know, I don't know, it's just like such an incredibly hard year, and we're all coming from totally different places and having different experiences and being affected in various really challenging ways. And then we also have so much in common, and you know, then I just think like quite literally about the masks, like just like, do we know who we are? And like when they take off their mask, I'm just, as I said, I just want to grab their face, because I just, you know, it's just such a big part of knowing one another and also understanding one another, because, you know, 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds too have normal, developmentally normal like their articulation is not that great because they're so little. And the masks don't make it easy, makes it harder. And today we were learning that song, and nobody could understand what words I was saying. It took a long, you know, but eventually we started to get it going, and it was just, you know, it was very moving. It's very moving to go through this insane year with these small people, and then to sing, you know, the song felt very moving, you know, coming from all these different places, but it's really all the same. And then like, to what extent do we know each other? And to what extent can we still see each other in this setting, you know, in this context? Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm talking about. I'm just rambling. Yeah, that's where I'm coming from. We did that song today. We did a thing that we usually do in, today we did for the first time a thing that we would normally do maybe in October. The children, we have a one type of work they can choose during what's called free exploration, which is basically choice time where there's different materials out, is making, we call it making, and they use like recycled materials, or, you know, paper, tape, screws. Sometimes they hammer hole punching wire, whatever, to create things, to make these creations, like fashioned out of all this random stuff and fastened together in all these different ways. And so today, you know, April 15th or whatever this day is, we did, that's the day, we'd had them for the first time reflect on their work. So, you know, these two girls got up and talked about their creations that they had made. And, you know, we just introduced the structure. And it felt so satisfying to finally do it. And there's also something sad. It's sad. Just that, you know, that we won't be, we won't, we just, you know, that it is what it is. We just won't be able to go as far as we usually do with them because of what it's been. Yeah, but it's still very, it feels like incredibly rewarding, bizarrely rewarding to finally be able to do these very simple things that we haven't been able to. I also have, I'm just checking my phone. I have a daughter that is 14 and she is in eighth grade at the same school where I teach. And she actually has been doing online school all this time. We opted for her to stay online for various reasons. And this week she finally went back in person herself. So that's really nice for me personally, because I, you know, I'm coming to school a lot more days, but I have been coming to school some days since October. And I would just leave her at home. She would just be at home by herself doing school, which is kind of depressing. And so now she is onboarding with all the COVID protocols at school. And it's, you know, it's challenging, but she's so grateful to be able to be with her peers again and also not be staring at herself all day. She's, you know, she's 14 years old and she's a girl, and it's not great to have to stare at yourself all day when you're at that developmental stage. So for me, it's quite a relief to know that she's, you know, in her big kid area doing that stuff rather than in that apartment staring at herself all day. So I'm coming from there too, thinking about her. I'm not sure if you want me to talk about anything else in particular.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much. I'm really interested, like you keep coming back to sort of like questions of physicality, like what it is to grow a seed, to touch the dirt, to, you know, touch your own face and to be in the space of the school versus, you know, staring at yourself on a screen. Yeah. How would you describe, like, how are you thinking about the past year and from this vantage with physicality now, like what, how do you, yeah, how would you describe that?
I mean, yeah, maybe like a month ago or something, I suddenly had the realization that, because we are still teaching online on Fridays, and then when we've come back from breaks, we've had sometimes a whole week online, or if someone has been sick, we've stayed home. And at some point I realized sometime since the December break that, you know, when we were online, we were like disembodied. We have no bodies. We don't have any, we can't touch anything, you know? And then when we're in person, we have bodies, but we barely have faces, you know, because we just have our eyes, which are great, but it's just not. And so it was kind of like, you either get one or the other, but you never get the whole entire thing. And that sucks. I mean, I feel like describing as I did, you know, figuring out ways to do self-portraits. And actually we are going to do a self-portrait with our masks on. Obviously that's what we have to do, that because that's like our main mode of existing. But there also felt very important for us to start with a regular self-portrait where we could have all of our features on there. I lost my train of thought. I mean, just finding little ways to, this is what I was saying, finding little ways in both settings to somehow access the whole person has felt really great. So like when we are able to eat snack outside and have our masks off and talk, it's like a big party, you know, like, oh my God, look at, I can see Luca's face, you know, and look, Luca's hilarious. And he's saying some hilarious stuff and I can see his whole face and he's eating his apples and his dried cranberries. And it's like, we're both here. All of us is here. And like those little moments become incredibly special because they're so rare. And then there's, you know, one of the ways that we've made Zoom teaching be the best that we experience it can be is when we find ways to bring our bodies into the experience on Zoom, which often we do, well, again, because fours and fives are very tactile, to find ways to, for example, doing a scavenger hunt about letter sounds where we have these motions that go with each sound. For example, this is t, 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 t. And so we do a game where, you know, we introduce that motion for t, and then people have to run into their house or whatever, wherever they live, and find something that begins or ends with t. And so again, that's a way, we have our faces on Zoom, but we don't have any, our bodies, and we're not really in each other's spaces. And so if I go find, you know, my trash can and I bring it over, first of all, I'm moving my body, I'm getting off the screen, and there's like the excitement of everyone being off the screen and then waiting for everybody to come back. It feels very physical. And then there's like the physical exchange of I'm showing you my trash can. And that is, you know, I guess what I'm saying is finding those ways to be integrated, whether on Zoom or in the classroom, has been very important, and those moments have been very powerful. You're frozen. Oh no, you're not frozen. It's also, you know, I'm trying to think what else. Your question was like, can you say your question again?
Basically, like, what does like space, what does physicality mean to you now at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has things that we certainly have taken for granted always, because they have just been, you know, as an accepted, you know, unacknowledged part of the job as the air that we have to breathe, you know, are now not, they're not, you don't take them for granted. You don't take for granted that you can see anyone's face, that you can look at children's mouths as they, who are not fully able to articulate, are speaking, which is part of how I figure out what people are saying. I look at their mouths. I can't see their mouths. And so those kinds of things, not having them, but obviously become much more precious and come to feel much more meaningful. Yeah, just thinking about the mask and the degree to which they hide so much of our expressions. And you know, what I do with 4 and 5 year olds is so much, it's about our community more than anything else. I mean, we do emergent literacy and math and tons of literature and tons of studio art materials, and you know, we might study space or whatever, depends, but the vast majority of what we do, the most important rather of what we do, is our connections with one another, and the degree to which those are compromised just by the barriers is really significant. It's really significant. Although I have to say, you know, I often think, I mean, I'm completely and continually blown away by how flexible the children are, or at least to the degree to the way that they present themselves. You know, I'm not like in their, you know, how they show up in class. I feel like it may be me and the other teachers that are the most discombobulated by it, because they're so willing to adapt to the demands of this moment. Another thing that I love that they do. So like we do a lot, we have a really substantial morning meeting every day. And part of that is greetings. But that's another thing that's pretty much, I mean, we were doing it online, but they pretty much, they're not that great online. Because you, for example, we'll roll a ball to greet, or we'll throw a ball, or we will stand like a flamingo. Like I will greet you standing on one leg like a flamingo, or crawling across the floor like a baby, and et cetera. So those are really not that fun on Zoom. Although we found ways that have been funny, like using the Zoom box as like a, almost like a, you know, you can pop out, you can like hide and then pop out. And other things are fun too. We've done greetings on Zoom where we've like, asked one time I told them to go get a roll of toilet paper, and we did a toilet paper greeting where the toilet papers were saying hello to one another, which, you know, it's fun. But it's also been fun to see the children, like we have this, a rolling ball greeting, which every group of children transforms in their own way. This group, rather than just having it be a ball, started making it a coconut, and then it was a blueberry, and then it was a kiwi, an acorn, blah, blah, blah. And then they started rolling the coronavirus back and forth. They were like, because they've seen the picture of the, you know, the virus thing with the spikes coming out. And so anyway, they'll be like, have a coronavirus. I mean, they're hilarious. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah. It's very confusing also, you know, we have jobs, we have classroom jobs, which are very important to them because they're 4 and 5 years old and they've just become, you know, literally in the world capable of doing quite a bit compared to where they were even a year ago. And so it's very important to them to be able to do these jobs, but it's also quite confusing because we have some jobs that are online jobs and some jobs that are in-person jobs. And it's very like Maya this week is the counter downer. The counter downer is an online job. And the job of the counter downer is to bring some closure to a Zoom session. So if I'm the counter downer, I'm going to count like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, goodbye. And that's my job. But we don't have that on in person. There's no counting. It's not really relevant. We count down occasionally, but not in that same kind of a way. So Maya, who doesn't come to online school because she doesn't like it, which is up to the parents, you know, that job doesn't really exist here. But then also for this kid, Luca, who's in Italy, he's supposed to be, I don't remember what he was supposed to, he's supposed to be the line leader. He can't be the line leader because he's in Italy. Honestly, anyway, they could have switched jobs, but we also weren't doing school. And it's just a mess. Just a mess. Yeah, tomorrow he should definitely, we do have online school tomorrow, so Luca, who's in Italy, can be the counter donor. It's just madness. It's madness. But I do feel, you know, our goal above all else was to have the children feel known. And I don't know if I feel like we are all as known as, in fact, I don't feel like we are all as known as we would have been. And that's why that I found that song very surprisingly moving this morning when we were singing. I just was like, they of course are not, well maybe they are, but I don't think they're thinking the way that I'm thinking. I just like, so yeah, I don't think we are known to the extent that we would be normally on April 15th, but that has been our goal more than anything else, is to know one another and to hear one another and to see one another and to feel connected. and, you know, understood and able to advocate for ourselves. And I do feel like we've done that, you know, I do feel like we've done that, very imperfectly, but we've done it, you know. I mean, the children, you know, they know how to mute and unmute themselves. They know, just like in the classroom, that they actually cannot talk the entire time, that sometimes it is your turn to talk. And it is my job to try the best I can to look at you and to not be playing with things in my hands and to give you my attention. And so, and, you know, and to know on some level, some people, you know, are able to internalize it more than others, that my listening to you is just as important, is as important for me as it is for you to listen to me. So we're still doing those things. And that feels very meaningful. And I've said this in other interviews, you know, I've been very grateful, even though, you know, the place where I work has been in a lot of upheaval and there's been a lot of pain associated with that, like intense pain. I have been very, very grateful to be meeting with children, even online, to be with them at this time, because I actually cannot imagine having gotten through the pandemic without them, you know, without their joyfulness and their openness and willingness and flexibility and humor about it all, you know, have a coronavirus is just amazing. You know, I feel really grateful. And I feel like that in, you know, I felt like that in the before times too. I mean, it's a huge part of how I basically live is with the help of the children that I teach. I find them to be incredibly inspiring and joyful. And it's, you can't really not feel joy around them. You can't really not laugh. So I always feel grateful for that, but this year even more. Even in the midst of all the insanity at the place where I work, you know, we've kind of had this additional, everything is unstable and constantly changing for everyone that's doing my job. But then, you know, at this particular institution, there's been so much instability that's been layered on top of the already intensely challenging work of being a teacher during COVID, but that's been a really heavy burden, really, really challenging. Yeah. So thank God for the fours. I love them. Yeah, we're wondering, you know, how we're going to what is going to be the way that we create closure this year, and how is that going to look different than it has in the past? I have no idea. You know, I guess we will, in the next 2 months, we will start thinking, we've started thinking about it. We're going to keep thinking about it and try to come to something, and definitely include the children in that. You know, is there a way that we want to celebrate and remember our time that we spent on Zoom as well? How do we want to do that? I mean, we do have pictures. We have tons of screenshots and other pictures. And so it might be, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe we'll create a book. We usually create these online portfolios. And we also usually have online portfolios in a normal year. And we also have physical portfolio shares where the families come in and the children present some artifacts of their learning that year, which could be photographs of block structures. It could be paintings that they've made. It could be stories that they've written or whatever, a pillow that they sewed. We're not going to have those because we're not allowed to have the parents in the building, but we will create something, you know, and it will be important to think about how to, you know, I don't want to, as much as honestly, I hate teaching on Zoom, there have been great things about it. And I think a lot of the kids have enjoyed it. Some of them actually completely hate it and almost never show up. but how to celebrate that work that we did as well, because it was hard, you know, and it was hard, and it was also, you know, we did a lot of great work, you know. It was the whole way we came together. You know, it was kind of cool in the beginning of the year when we did finally come to the classroom in October. I don't know when that was, mid-October, I'm not sure. You know, we already knew each other from meeting on Zoom, which was, you know, that was cool. It's not typical. Yeah, I'm not sure what else you want to hear about today.
You've mentioned a few times, like what are some of the changes that are happening in the structure of the school. I'm wondering, you've mentioned uncertainty and instability maybe. I'm wondering what you think the changes mean.
What they mean? I guess I'm assuming that you mean what do they mean like metaphorically and literally, like, or I don't know, I'll just talk, whatever. I mean, I do think that, you know, I think that the kind of collapse of the whole world, you know, the whole fucking world, is an opportunity, you know, and it's the same to rebuild, you know, to like look at what you're doing and what is working and what is not working and what parts do we want to keep and what parts do we want to not keep. And I think that the changes here could mean hopefulness for the future, you know, if the systems that are in place are able to self-examine and to be really honest about what's not working and what wasn't even working before the pandemic, and to grow something new from there, you know, I think that the changes could mean a rebirth, or they could also mean, you know, we're coming to a close here. I literally don't know, but I do feel some hopefulness about, you know, kind of bottoming out a certain way, like bottoming out, like to use like addiction terminology, like just kind of bottoming out in terms of like things that weren't working and then being forced to look at what was not working and to be honest about that and to be realistic and humble in terms of where we really are and what we really can do. And what we are already doing that is amazing, and how we can preserve that and possibly let go of perhaps the more glittery things that we were doing or were trying to do or wanted to do that didn't actually align with what we actually had the resources or ability to do. You know, what are we doing? What are we really doing now that, like, you know, these kind of shaky structures have fallen, or we finally agreed to take them down? In this COVID provided moment. What can we build on? What's actually stable and what's special about what we're doing, and how can we be honest and humble and inventive around those? You know, I mean, what I'm hoping is that, you know, the community, all parts of the community that are responsible for kind of holding up that structure, what is wonderful about it, can remain connected and honoring of one another's contributions, you know. So I feel like the changes could mean positive, you know, they could mean a new structure with maybe more integrity, a new and stronger structure with that has maybe more integrity than it had before. I think that would be great if that is what comes of it.
Do you have a vision for the fall or beyond?
For the fall?
or beyond?
So I feel like personally, you know, I have a lot of things personally that are up in the air. You know, my daughter is graduating from this school and is going to go to another school, and it's not entirely decided where that will be. I am living in a temporary apartment right now because I actually bought an apartment that needed, it was really very bad condition and needed a lot of work. So I'm like living in this temporary place, trying to get into that new place, but because of COVID, that whole kind of industry is very complicated and going very slowly. So my daughter's, where she's going to be, is up in the air. Our living situation is quite unstable right now. Or it's just in transition more. I don't actually know where I'm going to have a job. I mean, I'm hoping that I'm going to, you know, be told tomorrow that I will have a job for next year, but I don't know. So, and then, you know, somewhat relevant to this whole thing for me is that my therapist that I've had for like 21 years, literally, is quitting practice because she's old and she's allowed to do that. It's really bad timing for me personally. It's a bit inconvenient. So my point in bringing all of these different things up is I feel like I have like all these dice in my hand, and or someone has them in their hand. And they're going to throw them, and they're going to land somewhere in some configuration. And that's what we're going to do. I mean, I don't have a clear vision because there's so much that's up in the air. So I'm just trying to hope that, you know, the combinations of the dice that come up are going to be good, you know. And I do in a lot of moments have confidence that they will be. I mean, and I'm also just trying to just go with it, you know. I mean, literally, like when my therapist told me she was quitting practice, I just was like, well, of course you are doing that now, you know, because literally every part of my life is in flux. I don't know where I'm going to work. I don't know where my kid's going to be in school. My kid's not going to be in the same school as me anymore, which is a big change for us. It's good. It's great, but it's also a big change. My living situation is still quite unknown. I've never lived in this apartment that we're fixing. So my point is that when she said that, I was like, well, that just goes perfectly with the whole rest of this painting. So, you know, just going to go with it. That's the feeling of now. It's just like a rushing kind of a river, and you know, it's going where it's going. But I cannot really say exactly what my vision is. You know, I mean, I'm hoping to be teaching 4, 5, or 6 year olds. You know, those are my favorite ages, pre-K and kindergarten. I'm hoping to be teaching, you know, with people that I can collaborate with that have some of the same kind of interests in continuing to learn about our practice. You know, I like to always be learning new things, and I like to work with people that like to learn new things. I'm hoping to be collaborating with people that I respect and in an environment that is as stable as possible and that is respectful of all the parts of what we do as teachers. And I'm hoping to be working with, I don't even really have to say that because the children honestly are always great, you know, always in there. And, you know, obviously there's challenges, but I'm not really ever worried about what they bring. I mean, that's actually not true. You can obviously work with children who bring very, very challenging things, but even still, they're amazing themselves. But I guess I'm thinking more about the kind of quote unquote higher structures around me and how can they support what we do, and really I kind of hold space, to use that term, for what we do and how important it is. You know, I do, it's been disillusioning to really see the degree to which even, you know, even where I work, you know, there's a feeling of not, and this is obviously throughout our country, which is not one that really values young children or sees people that work with young children as worthy of as much respect and consideration as those who work with older kids or whatever. Yeah, that's been rough. And so I'd like to, my vision is that I'm working in an environment, in a structure that very clearly values what it is that we do. Cause it's pretty serious. It's very serious, actually. It's joyful and it's playful and we're very silly. And it's very serious, you know. That's what I hope. That's what I want. And that's what I'm gonna try to make happen. That's we'll see what happens tomorrow if we get some news, some information, and then go from there to do whatever needs to be done to create that for myself and for the people that I love to work with.
How would you want those higher structures to support what you do?
Well, really kind of, I think there's a lot of, there's a tendency to not see the complexity of the interactions that we have with children and the way that we support them in their social emotional development and the way that we interact with parents and the way that we interact with, you know, kids who have special needs, like the way we interact with, you know, securing those for those children and working the system to make sure that they get what they need and helping the parents understand all of that. You know, I feel like, especially with young children, because we're not teaching content, you know, we're not teaching, I mean, we do teach content, but in a different way than, for example, my daughter's learning about, Shakespeare. We don't do content in that kind of a way. So I feel like there's a blindness to what we do. And it, you know, it always makes me think of, you know, the term that's often used to apply to women's work, invisible labor, you know, the jobs that women do in a family that are just completely not seen. I guess because usually it's women that do them and it's easy to, for like, whatever.
Hi.
You're back.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I think for the, just like it's easy in our country and other countries to kind of not see and value and reward, whether that be monetarily or just an acknowledgement, that kind of labor, I feel like it's the same here. So a supportive structure would be one that actually understood what we do. And that acknowledge that, you know, that my job does not consist of just walking in the classroom and handing out magnetiles. Like there's actually a lot more involved. And there's a lot more really careful thought and work and dialogue and planning and research. Just as much as there is, for example, the middle school teachers at my school, we have, you know, so that is what I would like. It demands though, like deep understanding, which would demand time and listening. Yeah. You know, I learned even more about that when I went to teach the two-year-olds, because it's like the younger you go. I mean, I was interested in the twos because they are magic, magic people who are, they've literally just landed on this planet, who are making sense of literally everything, you know, which for me is like spiritually and creatively like fantastic, you know, and watching them and being a part of that is incredible. But people, you know, people don't really see what we do in the four and fives with, they don't see it with the complexity that it deserves. And people, even teachers that teach kindergarten, don't understand what is going on with two-year-olds. So that, you know, doing that, it was a even more of a window on how hard that is. And it, honestly, it's enraging. It's enraging. You know, I also read an article about how, you know, it's just so depressing. Like, you know, childcare providers who do very similar work to what I'm doing, you know, in different settings, maybe with different, you know, in different settings with different people, you know, the ways that they were not, they had no choice, you know, but to go, even in the height of the pandemic when nobody knew anything about what was going on. You know, again, just kind of a just lack of understanding, disrespect. Yeah, it's rough. And then of course, reading that, I again, you know, was given pause to think about the degree to which I am respected, of course, compared to some people that work with children the exact same age that I do. It's just, it's rough. Yeah. I mean, I know that a lot of teachers are actually leaving this profession after this year. You know, they obviously, teaching is not exactly at the top of respected professions in America and the United States. And that's been true. And then this experience has kind of made it even more glaringly obvious. And I, you know, I've read, I actually don't know if I know any personally that are leaving now as a result of this experience, but I've definitely read a lot. I don't necessarily feel that way. I don't feel like I'm done with this way of working as a result of this, but it has been eye-opening. You know, it has been eye-opening, and I'm not really sure, honestly, like we've been so like immersed in trying to survive that I don't know that I've had any really coherent big picture takeaways that are necessarily directly helpful to visioning my next steps. There's a lot to consider. A lot has been presented that one can consider about the role that we play, you know, through this experience. Yet, I don't know. I don't know if I'm an idiot, but I still don't feel like I'm finished. You know, I don't necessarily feel like that's it. I want to go do an office job now. I don't, because that which I get from the children is still here. That which we create together. I mean, we even created stuff together this year with all of the insanity and hellishness. You know, we do our best to see one another clearly and to know who each of us are, you know, like in the song, we do, and we have made a lot of great strides. Maybe not, I don't think as much as we do normally, but we have done important work and in that area and seeing one another and knowing who one another are. And that feels very important to me.
We're just about at time, but is there anything else you want to speak about to preserve for the record?
No, not, I mean, only that, you know, doing these, I mean, honestly, I was so stressed out today, just like, like sit down and I'm just like buzzing. So in a way it's hard to sit down and really reflect. But I have to say that perhaps this one more than the other ones, honestly, just because of, I guess, being on site. This is my first time interviewing on site. It's hard to change gears, you know, and there's always 8 million things, blah, 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 to do. And I just came out of a meeting and then anyway. But I will say that, like, having the opportunity, I think I said this to Suzanne, that, like, it's like, you know, it is a little bit therapy-ish, you know, it is like, it's like very focused on this work experience at this insane time. You know, the listening and the questions has felt like really about like responding and being asked the questions and being kind of given a structure and a time to sit down and reflect with someone who is not in these institutions in which we work, where you can always kind of get into the minutiae as opposed to, you know, being asked questions like, what do these changes mean? It's been, you know, it's felt really good, actually. It's been a valuable experience for me and one that I've been grateful for, even as like I'm so overwhelmed all the time. You know, it's been nice. It's been good. So yeah.
Really glad to hear that. Yeah. Can I just ask you just to close out to reintroduce yourself and maybe describe yourself for someone who's only listening to the audio?
Do you mean describe myself just in terms of who I am as a person? Or when you say only listening to the audio, like what I look like?
Yeah, for someone who can't see what you look like or what would be important for that person to know.
Okay. My name is Anna Padgett. I am a teacher of 4 and 5 year olds at a private school in Lower Manhattan. I also am a musician and a songwriter, and I play the guitar. And like awkward. I feel like I'm writing one of those captions for, you know, for an image. Is that what I'm doing? I mean, I'm like a white person with blonde hair. And I'm wearing a leopard shirt right now. And I'm in a classroom it's actually an enormous classroom. It's not normally this big, with a lot of books and vines streaming down below me. And let's see what else.
That's great. Thank you so much. Or if there's anything else you would like to add, please do.
No, I think that's it. Focus on the leopard shirt, the green vines, and all those books that are behind me. Highlight those.
Thank you so much. Is it okay if I take a picture of you quickly?
Yeah.
Just get a screenshot.
Don't forget to get the leopard shirt, the green vines, and the books.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate your time.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate it as well. It's been really nice. Thank you and take care.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.